glory to God. Blessed be thy holy, 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 holy name. Oh, Jesus, we love you, 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 we love you. Oh, Lord, teach your people to love you. Teach your people to pray. Teach your people to kill. Teach your people to walk by faith. Teach your people to walk by the principles of the Word of God and not by feeling. Bless your people, help your people, strengthen your people, encourage your people, revive your people. Oh, Lord, we need you, we need you, we need you, we want you. We love you, we love you, we want to honor thee, we want to love you, we want your love, we want to be strengthened by the power of your might that we might do your will. Oh, Lord, we want the forces of evil to go under. We want the forces of the air of God to triumph and your name to be glorified. Bless your people, bless your churches, bless the land, help your people, O God. And, O Lord, during this letting time, we pray that your church will respond to the time that you've given it, that it might come on up and be strengthened, that it might come to the cross, that it might walk in righteousness and holiness, that it might do your will and bidding. Help us not to fritter away the time that you've allotted to us, in the name Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, save your people, save your church, help your people, give vision. God, make the vision bright that your people might know, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Oh, I feel stirred in my soul, my spirit. This is the fourth of a series in the State of the Union. Someone was telling me, you know, the State of our Union is a little bit sick, you know what I mean? A little sick. But there are people in the land who kill. And if we'll kill and pray, if we'll go before God, if we'll just trust that when we pray, we're not doing something mechanical. If we just understand that it's not a fruitless effort. If we just understand that we are praying to a being who holds the universe in his hand and can do anything he wants. There is a power of the devil that is so strong that comes to people with a hopelessness. And it says, in effect, all things are so bad and so big that prayer just won't do much good. Have you ever had that feeling come on you? It's just too far gone. I mean, the thing is too big. The animosities, the hate, the pressures, there's just no use to pray. I mean, what can one prayer do? What can two or three prayers do? God has promised us that if two or three are gathered together in his name, that he'll heal. And he said that if the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And he tells us that if his people that are called by his name will humble themselves and repent and seek his face, that he'll heal from heaven and heal the land. If he can just get people that will care and go on their knees and believe God. But the devil comes with this feeling of, well, this won't do much good. Which in effect nullifies the saying of Jesus, with God all things are possible. It changes things from a God who controls it to the masses of the people and to circumstances. And the devil puts this fog in the minds of Christians. I heard from a brother that a few people from the assembly, one of them from Sweden, went over to Coma Kingdom and listened to Kenneth Copeland, a very popular preacher in America at this time. Coma Dome, that's what I meant to say. I'm not sure what I did say. Coma Dome. And he said there was rock music playing, and the preaching was on prosperity. And he said this message is sweeping Sweden, or Finland, I guess he said, maybe. I guess it was Finland. Sweeping Finland. Say what it was. And he said, everybody, you know, is wanting to buy Mercedes. You know, and getting this famous. The devil has come to distort the message of God. And Christians are not invulnerable to the deceits of the devil. The Christian world is full of the devil's doctrine. The churches have got much false doctrine in it that came from the devil. Now you see, all a person has to do in looking at the scriptures, if Jesus really taught the kind of prosperity message that's being taught today in many places, then you would see his apostles. Certainly his apostles would be champions of that. Certainly throughout the Pauline epistles, you'd be reading this over and over again, and certainly you would see that all the apostles and the major disciples and the first early church would be men that were buying camel trains and palatial mansions and many chariots, walking in lovely robes. But that isn't what they did. There's something very incongruous about picking a couple of scriptures out of what Jesus taught and then applying it in a way that neither he nor any of his apostles or disciples ever fulfilled in the entire New Testament. There's something wrong someplace with such a doctrine, but people can't see it because they are so selfish, so subjective, so taken up by the cares of the world that the Lord said, it'll come as a snare upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. And said, beware, beware, beware of covetousness, of riches. For hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom of God. These things begin to pull on them and pull on them and pull on them, making distort the message until no longer is the cross, but the riches. No longer become the salt of the earth, but the sugar of the earth. No longer prayer rooms, but there's rather play rooms, bingo rooms. No more upper rooms, but supper rooms. Everything becomes not God, but man. Not God leading, but man's program. Everything is being turned around. This is Satan's business in this hour. We had the greatest presidential upsweep of the nation's history. When the president took every state but one, and the District of Columbia. And I didn't see anything in the paper the next day. I didn't get a chance to see the paper, and I was busy. And so the next day, I went to look at the paper. We didn't get a paper the next day, and I went to get a paper, to look at the paper, and there was nothing on the front sheet, except one little thing, nothing on the front page about this big landslide. They ought to know that some people might not get a chance to see that particular paper. The paper sold out, and usually, you'd be talking about it for days, and I had to go back to the fourth page to find a little bit, and the sixth page, find a little bit more. Today, I saw the Sunday paper sitting there on the deck as I walked out, big fat thing, big, about that thick, designed to keep you away from church. You read it all day. And there in the headline, great big major top headlines, right in the corner, somebody's dog has finally come home. In a major city. You'd think that this is Podunksville, 20, population 23 or something. John's dog has come home. And this is where the world is. Everything is turned upside down. They're majoring in minors and minoring in majors. And that's the way it is in the world today. Everybody's worried about the seals and the whales and the dirt and the foliage and the sagebrush. And nobody's worried about souls. All the concern about the mice going out of space. Everybody's got everything all twisted around. There's been some very major impacting things done by the presidents of the United States, and the press has hardly given them notice. Hardly given them notice. And have failed to report earth-shaking events. Major things happening. Major reasons why we accepted China, for example, and shut off Formosa. There hasn't been a lot of railing and how much blasting is there continually because we've taken Free China, which has always supported us, we've always supported, and we all of a sudden we've stiffed on them, some years ago in the other administration, stiff-armed them and brought in Red China. You're not hearing much about that. Giving away the Panama Canal. You don't hear much flack. A lot of talk about going to give it away, but not much talk about what happened afterwards. Nobody's upset about it. No big deal. It wasn't even reported in the press when President Kennedy ordered Khrushchev to take missiles out of Cuba. And all they had was, and John Kennedy said, we're not even going to check the cases, we're going to trust you. And he told the American public before he ever became president, you cannot trust them. They have violated, he said something like 800 and something, I don't remember the exact number, treaties in Korea alone. And he promised faithfully he would never, never have a disarmament unless He had electronic surveillance, black boxes, and all of the rest that we could trust in and so forth. And he turned around, and he let Russia take missile cases out of Cuba. There's no proof that missiles were ever taken out. There was none at all. He told them that we were going to trust you. We're not going to look. All they had was photographs from a destroyer looking at freighters going with cases, missile cases. It meant absolutely nothing. The CIA said there still were down there. And then the United States had to take all missiles out of Turkey and out of Europe, and not a word was said. It was hailed as a triumph for strong John Kennedy. Not a word was said about us taking all missiles. We took missiles out, they took cases out, and it was said that we triumphed. And not a word was said. And then the fiasco in the Bay of Pigs, where the Cubans went down to reinvade and take over communist Cuba, their own land, and they were promised air support. And at the last moment, President Kennedy said the B-25 bombers that were going to go down and give them support on the beach, so bomb the beach and keep the heads down where they landed, was withdrawn because they might cause an international incident or something. And so even though they were going to be flown by Cubans, and even though they were not going to be owned by the United States Air Force, and they were all World War II planes, still he withdrew them at the last moment, and the whole invasion floundered. People were killed and so forth. They lost their ability to be able to take Cuba back, and not a peep has been said about when the nation hardly about it at all. Not a peep has been said about it. And major things have happened, and hardly a thing has been said about it. And then when somebody sneaks in and peeks at somebody's democratic things that they're planning, Watergate for a year became the biggest thing in the nation. The president was raked over the coals for one solid year before they even knew if he even knew about it. And it was found out through trials that he never did know about it in advance. And he made a major case. And he didn't fire the two men when he found out. He wasn't obligated to fire them. He wasn't obligated to fire his men because of something that's happened. And all they had to, that's up to the courts to find them guilty. There's no law. He didn't break any law. But the man couldn't have stayed in office. I'm not saying anything about the value of the man. I'm just saying it was that this thing's, everything is tipped upside down. For years after, ministers were preaching about Watergate. Watergate. Watergate was the tiniest little pinny-anny pea-shaped thing that meant nothing. If that's the worst that ever happened, we're in good shape. That doesn't mean anything, hardly. They're letting people go all the time to do a lot worse than that, without even a slap in the hand. That doesn't amount to anything. Sneak in a peek at somebody's strategy. Great major things happening in this country. But the scriptures tell us that the devil has come to turn, call lightness dark and dark lightness. Everything is being twisted and turned around. I'm going to read you from the scriptures a little bit here a moment. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 18, and we're doing quite a bit of reading here. Just listen to what God says. And if it didn't apply to these last days, I don't know what does. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that, I'm going to say one more thing before I start this. It has come to a place where things are so fuzzy in the minds of people, including Christians, they don't seem to care anymore who they support or what they do. Britain has been selling Rolls-Royce jet engines to Russia for years, and we've been selling them computers for years, and all these nations are selling back and forth and selling the communists who are trying to down us and building up their forces and all of this. Why? So they can make money. They don't care about the nation. They don't care about the future. They don't care about right and wrong. And the people of the nation, there are people all upset. The liberals have been so upset at Reagan and others, this administration, because there are things that are done against communists in Nicaragua and in this nation. And they're calling them people, which they are. Because it doesn't make any difference to them, allegedly, of whether they're communists or not. They're worried about the CIA investigating, but it's communists. They're not worried. They just say, people. They don't say communists that are trying to destroy the nation. And there's a fuzziness. See, down there, there's a war going on. And the Nicaraguans are trying to take back over the country from the communists. And they are killing communist soldiers. That's what war is about, trying to take the nation back. But if any of the CIA down there suggests that in some way, if it be interpreted that way, that they should bump off any of the leaders, oh, struck to the heart. I mean, what kind of a thing is this? We ought to somehow, so this man can't be president. Well, what's going to go on here, see? And a big deal, if you can kill men that have to go to war for communism, why can't you kill the leaders? Why shouldn't you bump them off? Why shouldn't you? That's the most efficient way of downing something is getting rid of the leaders. But the people, well, soldiers are people. This thing is, now, there are people that are willing to patronize. They don't care whether it's the witches are behind it. They don't care who owns it. I mean, just as long as they get what they want. But there's a fuzziness. This is a sleepiness on God's people. There's a fog somehow. They don't care who they support. We live in a liberal nation that just wants to support the devil's works, you know, in Hollywood. And when Christians are going to movies, they're supporting Hollywood. There's so much fuzziness. There's a lack of distinction. There's a lack of clearness. There's a lack of integrity. There's a lack of clarity. The people don't know where they are, what side they stand on, or how to live, or what to do. There is a need for God's people to come back, to come out of the world and to stand on God's side and make clear lines between them and the devil and clear things up. But they're walking in a muddled world. We're walking in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, trying to live for Jesus. And it's not working very well in the nation. The nation's in trouble. The churches are in trouble. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. There's a lot of people holding truth in unrighteousness. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. All that God has created. Being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power. And Godhead, meaning God essence, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made of like corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Do you know the liberals of this nation who never believed in God are going back to worship of Astarte, goddesses? They're going back to all kinds of demon worship, idols, all kinds of things like this, Satan worship. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Do you know there are people who are trying to serve the creature more than the Creator? Even in blessing packs. Who is blessed forever? Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. They were trying to run for president and vice president here recently that believe in these things. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meat. No wonder they got AIDS and other things like this, except they're not really AIDS. I don't think they're aiding them any. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and that's the problem, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. the whole nation is living in sin, and Mr. Mondale tried to warn the nation that if Reagan takes over, then the moral majority is going to have an orgy of intolerance sweep the land. You know, like take away, maybe might hinder some lawlessness, some anything their imagination wants to do, no matter how wicked they think they should be able to do it. Chapter 3, the whole world's got into that thing. If two consenting adults want to commit fornication and adultery, then who's to say anything? It seems to me one nation under God is to say something. There was a day in this nation when they would arrest people on the streets of Oregon if you swore or cursed on the street. That was the law in the state. Things have slipped a long, long way. There was a nation when even the Catholic Church forbid the people to see Gone with the Wind because they had the word damn at the end. Look at the thing now. And cosmetics are going to these films and things. It's all right. You're doing what the Catholics wouldn't even do 30 years ago, some of you. Think about it. Think about it. Think not that you're not deceived.
Right.
You know, these demon pressures come, and they put pressure on you in such a way that they can make it so you do not want to heal. You do not want to do anything different. You do not want to believe anything else.
Right.
You're going to hold that. You're going to refuse to think about it or do anything.
Right.
I am finding, now listen to me, there is a power. There is a power that comes from demons on you that when you get sick, or got demonized in some way, or got problems on you, they come with a heavy pressure that makes you feel like, don't feel like praying, you don't feel like attacking it, like you got no diaphragm, you got nothing to left, you don't feel like battling it. It just saps all of your zeal, all of your strength, all of your desire. It puts you in a fog, in a limbo, so to speak. There is a pressure that comes on you so you won't do anything, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Don't do anything. Just stay where you are. Do nothing. And there's a little chemical that will squeak to the Lord out of it. And there's no battle. There's a power. There is a power. God's people are not going to get released and through this until they learn to walk by the principles of the Word of God and not by feeling that comes up on them. And the feeling is so strong. It'll attack any minister of God. It'll attack the highest to the lowest. There's no one exempt in the world, which is why we need one another. We need others who don't have that pressure on them to come, who've got the energy and the power and the faith at a time when everything is faithless, hopeless, everything. That's the time to get on the phone and saying, brother, I don't feel like having you over or anybody else. I don't feel like anybody praying for me. I don't want anybody to help me. I'm in a fog. I just want to be left alone. You better run over as fast as you can. I'm in trouble. That's what we need. People who will go by the principles regardless of the feeling. But something, well, no, I don't want... Can I help you? No, I don't feel like it. You say, I don't feel like it. You better. There's something wrong when I don't feel like getting help from somebody opposite and I'm in trouble. See, we're in trouble. We should care we're in trouble. And when you get to you don't care that you don't care and you know you're in trouble, you know that you're really in trouble. And you better get help. You better get help. You better get help. One day you shall stand at the judgment seat. And if you cast off to the left side and others are standing on the right, there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and you would have done anything.
Right.
See, why did I allow those demons to do that?
Right.
For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? No, why should we worry about them?
Right.
God forbid, yea, that God be true, but every man a liar.
Yeah.
As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. I'm reading in 3:13. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things... That's why I want to stop right there. Here's a piece of paper. You want to know about the women's liberation movement? How holy that is? Part of the civil rights program to set you women free? These are statements. We must, this one comes from the Women's Liberation, notes from the second year. We must destroy love. Love promotes vulnerability, dependence, possessiveness, susceptibility to pain, and prevents the full development of women's human potential by directing all her energies outward in the interest of others. Number two, Humanist Manifesto 2, signed by Betty Friedan, founder of National Organization of Women. Humanist Manifesto 1 and 2, Prometheus Books, 1973. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. Promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation are both illusionary and harmful. And the same person, now ERA fundraising letter, March 1978. The ERA has become both symbol and substance for the whole of modern women's movement for equality. I am convinced if we lose this struggle, we would have little hope in our own lifetime of saving our right to abortion. The document, Declaration of Feminism, marriage has existed for the benefit of men. I never knew that. I thought it was for the benefit of both and God. And has been a legally sanctioned method of control over women. The end of institution of marriage is a necessity, or is necessary condition for the liberation of women. Therefore, it is important for us to encourage women to leave their husbands and not to live individually with men. We must work to destroy it, meaning marriage. Against everything that God is for. Against the whole basic nature. Because they're full of demons.
Right.
This comes from the Tulsa Woman, August 21, 1977, Associated Press. As for divorce, Dr. Bain said she sees it as a safety valve for families. It makes for better family life, she said. There is no merit in holding families together just for the sake of it. For this reason, divorce improves the quality of marriages. And this one says, this is part one, page 3, 19 and 20, Los Angeles Times, 10 of April, 1978, from Santa Cruz. Nearly 400 women picked different notes and held them catching their breaths at different times so the sound droned unabated for 5 minutes. The eerie monotones from this congregation of sorts reverberated against the angular outside walls of the Theater of Performing Arts and filtered through clumps of tall pines in the University of California, Santa Cruz campus. The hymnic call was to the goddess. No time for God, but time for goddess. Later in the day, encouraged by the beat of bongo drums, spontaneous groups of circling women danced bare-breasted in scenes suggestive of frolicking wood nymphs. More than a successful university extension course, however, the event was indicative of a burgeoning spiritual dimension to the women's liberation movement in America. Christine Downing, head of San Diego State University Religious Studies Department, estimates that many, if not most, spiritually sensitive women in the women's liberation are willing to replace the biblical God with a frankly pagan and polytheistic approach. A Santa Cruz woman, Ebony of the Mountain, 38, said, "Some of the women think of themselves as witches, but not all." Now, this came from the Los Angeles Times. You see what's happening? Now, if I would have been President Reagan running for the country, I would be reading some of these things to the nation. Saying, draw your lines. And if you want this, then give me a Congress so we can get all programs through. If you want my programs, give me people who will push it through, not people that will block it, please. The new liberated women of 1970, this one comes from Carolyn Bird, born female. Amazing. The new liberated woman of 1970 is not an old battle axe. Well-educated, privileged, she is often attractive and almost always young. Yeah, you can't get the older ones who've been around a while with this. You get a brainwash them when they're young, don't know anything. She is, in addition, idealistic, intense, and she is furious. That's it. She's furious. She's angry, which means she's not happy. She's not a happy person. She's furious. She has nothing against premarital sex. And has usually tried it. It's just that she finds it disappointing at best, not worth the trouble. Isn't it easier to masturbate? She wants to reform sex practices in line with sex experiments. Bad language is a way of proving that you're not a lady, so liberated women may toss off the four-letter words from which men extract a sexual thrill. This one is from Dr. Mary Jo Bain, Tulsa World, August 21st, 1977, Associated Press. What happens to children depends not only on what happens in the homes, but what happens in the outside world. We really don't know how to raise children. If we want to talk about equality and opportunity for children, then the fact that children are raised in families means there's no equality. You want these people to run your nation and get legislation brought in? It is a dilemma. In order to raise children with equality, we must take them away from families and communally raise them. If you ever look at what M.S. Ferraro, so-called, I don't know that she's a Miss or a Mrs., I'm not sure what she is. Ever look at what she has voted for and the whole line of things, she's right in line with this type of thing. Right in line. This one is Gloria Steinem, editor of MS Magazine, Saturday Review of Education, March 1973. By the year 2000, we will, I hope, raise our children to believe in human potential, not God. So you see who's behind. This is one of the arms, one of the big right arms of the civil rights movement, which is one reason that you can begin, if you see all the factors that are involved, you know why I do not believe in the civil rights program. This is an article from Time Magazine, which is not a religious magazine, as you well know. October 29, 1984, called Religion. That's the section of the magazine. To feminist critics of Holy Scripture, there is something grievously wrong with the beginning of the 23rd Psalm in the traditional translation. The Lord is my shepherd. Has distinctly male aura to it. Far better, say the critics, to render David's word in a neutral way. God is my shepherd. Similarly, sexism is allegedly rampant in the commandment given to Moses. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Fairness would dictate an even-handed condemnation by adding, O husband. These people are tampering with the words of God and calling God unfair, trying to say God is wrong, we are right. Instead of saying, I must be wrong because God disagrees with me. These are just two examples from a new anti-sexist rendering of hundreds of widely known biblical texts which was issued last week by the National Council of Churches. The aim of the balanced six men, six women committee that prepared the translations was to rid the Holy Writ of the male bias that supposedly runs throughout both the Hebrew and Greek scriptures and subsequent English translations. This means expunging any references to a male God such as the Lord, the Father, and masculine pronouns like he. Now, remember, these people have been banging for some time to do this. They've already been retranslating for some time, and they're going to continue until that will be the shape of the Bible. It has always been said in Uppsala, Sweden, in a WCC meeting ages ago, that they were going to get legislation to ban the King James Version. You say, well, how can they do that? Well, someday possibly they will, because it is against civil rights. It is discriminating. And once they get discrimination hammered hard enough until people will believe that they have a right to take private property away from you and tell you what to do with it. If you're a barber, they tell you who's here to cut. If you have an apartment house, they tell you who you must rent to. They are now doing that in America. They are now telling you what to do with your personal private property. And they now have moved in and said that if you are churches or if you are schools and this type of thing, you got to hire, you know, or else you got to hire certain people on staff and this and so have certain people in, or else you don't get any tax break from you, not recognized. They're doing that with churches. They're moving into Christian schools and in nurseries and saying you have to be licensed by them and agree to their programs and so forth. They are moving in, and pretty soon the discrimination will also cover Bible reading. Anything said, they get their way, unless the Lord helps his people. Says committee member Reverend Sharon Ringe of the Methodist Theological School in Delaware, Ohio, much hurt is caused by oppressive speech. Have you noticed you've been hurt deeply by these things in the Bible? Beyond that, the committee has banished some passages now deemed offensive, such as Paul's teaching on marriage in Ephesians 5, wives be subject to your husband as to the Lord. Just taking those out completely. The committee excised verses from 1 Corinthians 6 in which Paul assails Christian men who use prostitutes, presumably because women are portrayed as sex objects. So you don't like that. Well, where do you think it's been from the beginning of time to the now? You don't go downtown and find all these male places, the women all going in and hiring women. It's always been the other way. But they don't like it. If Paul is going to say something against which sins are happening, they don't like to admit it's happening. They want to pretend it's not the way it is. In Acts 3, in the interest of domestic balance, the customary list of Hebrew patriarchs is augmented by the names of the wives, the God of Abraham and Sarah, of Isaac and Rebekah, and Jacob, Leah and Rachel, and so forth. That's all they know now. And in Hebrews 1:3, it is God's child, not son, who has the power to uphold the universe, which sounds like a weighty responsibility for a juvenile. Just in the Son of God, you know, who's sovereign, it's the child who's sovereign. But he's not sovereign as a child. The executive, whose National Council of Churches Education and Ministry Division runs the Bible Project, Presbyterian David, it's NG, I don't know how you pronounce that, has surveyed 200 congregations that used last year's readings, which sold 20,000 copies. Although Ning says they were basically appreciative of the new inclusive approach in speaking of God, Ringe admits that many worshippers simply ignored some new wordings. The practice most controversial to worshippers seems to be the addition of "and mother" whenever a reference to God the Father is unavoidable. So they see God the Father, say "and mother." One new example is John 15, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from God the Father and mother. Seems to add a heretical fourth person to the Trinity. The third and final selection of readings due to a year hence will include Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. Chances are this will be known as the Sovereign Prayer and that Jesus will address the deity as a binary father and mother. Now you see, this is happening by a national and world council of churches, major denominations, including the one that John Wesley started. One started in revivals, and when revivals, some of the revival churches of this century, in the last century. Now, I want to know what they're going to do. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the boy or girl, however you conceive it to be, circumcision of the he, she, or it, as you conceive it to be, it's ridiculous. They cannot stand the fact that he was a man. What happens next? Napoleon, Alexander the Great, they all have to be he or she? Why can't something be a certain sex? You know what something I've always noticed? They have never pushed yet to get rid of the he. I'm talking about Satan. Right. Satan, he's okay. But God, he is not. Strange. Right. Never been brought up yet. This is called the Eagle's Nest Christian Fellowship. One of the businessmen from my brother's prayer group in Rockford, Illinois, has the following experience recently on an airplane. He noticed that the man sitting next to him passed up his meal, so he asked the man if he was feeding all right. The man replied that he was fasting. "Oh, are you a Christian too?" "No," said the man, "I am a disciple of Satan. We are fasting to break up 500 Christian homes." You know how much of this may be going on in America? The following is a part of a letter received by a prominent minister in Los Angeles, California, and reportedly revealed the doctrine of the Legion of Lucifer. This letter is written to this minister. "Now, we believe we are the new movement, this is starts in with ellipses, we have the new movement that the Prince Michael mentioned in the 11th and 12th chapters of Daniel is the Archangel Michael, who has forsworn allegiance to Jehovah and is now on our side. We believe that Michael is the alter ego of Satan, or rather Lucifer, who takes on many names. First, let me explain that we have formed a movement which is necessarily secret for the time being, a militant organization. We call ourselves the Legion of Lucifer. Contrary to popular misconception and Christian propaganda, Lucifer was not and is not the ugly, cruel entity he is so often portrayed to be. But on the contrary, he is the most beautiful, intelligent, resplendent of all the cherubs of heaven, that is, prior to the revolution against Jehovah, who feared his growing power and dominion. Now, haven't you noticed, have you knew you have got a little glimpse into Jesus Christ Superstar, how that they made, sympathy for Judas, and from what I've read, Judas was the kind of the good guy. I agree with you entirely on the victory which is to be, I think that's the film, entirely on the victory which is to be soon by the King of the North. You have clearly identified this power. The Antichrist will eventually rule the world. That too you have envisioned. And the Antichrist, the Archangel, Michael, and Lucifer, all one and the same in a trinity, separate in action but unified in purpose. That Armageddon is close at hand. That Armageddon is close at hand is, I think, easy for anyone to see, and the unleashing of the atomic bomb points to the inevitable conclusion. The atomic bomb, I am glad to say, is of a satanic origin, a product of the infernal, and is to ensure the final victory of Lucifer not only over the earth, over which Satan is dominion, see Luke 4, it's a quote in your Bible for it, but over the hosts and cohorts of heaven who must fall before Lucifer's ultimate assault. There are a lot of people like this. They have come from religious people who have been hurt and in trouble. The sane asylums are full of them. And the psychiatrist always mentioning, these people are all going around talking about God. I saw a letter just yesterday written by somebody in this assembly by their mother who took their wedding pictures and put 666 in the forehead of her daughter and put Satan on another picture, made all kinds of terrible marks on it, called her filthy names, and through all of this and attacking her for speaking in tongues and so forth. And throughout the whole thing, she kept saying, but I'm going to go to heaven, and I love Jesus, and Jesus on my side, and all this type of thing, and using filthy, terrible words. See, this is what Christian people are in trouble. Joseph Smith was a dropout from a Christian church. The devil has gotten into people who have been, enough said. You will recall that on the contest between Jesus and Satan, Jesus, the younger son of God, was given a chance by his elder brother Lucifer, or Satan, to share his dominion. See, Mormonism teaches that Satan and Jesus are brothers. But he chooses to become an opponent rather than the second in command to his elder brother. At that time, Lucifer simply departed from him for a season and had been bidding his time, content to see what a mess Jesus and his followers were to make of the world and humanity. Jesus and Christianity have, I think, demonstrated their weakness and inability to cope with opinions in the minds of men. We are now worse off and in more disharmony over the globe than any previous period in history. The kingdom of Lucifer is nigh, and we, the Legion of Lucifer, have pledged ourselves to it, and the reign of Jesus, or his attempt to reign, is collapsing on every side. See, they're blaming the condition of the world today on Jesus, not on Lucifer. I don't know it's all that religious and wonderful and sweet. Our doctrine is simple. We believe in freedom from restraint, in the enjoyment of all that is desirable and pleasurable things in life. It was old Epicureanism. We believe in beauty, art, music, and the indulgence of one's natural appetite, limited only by allowing others to enjoy an equal and similar right to live as they please. The keynote is sexual freedom unrestrained, and pleasure is the password. Sin is a mirage, a superstition that is erased from our vocabulary. That's what our psychiatrists all over the nation are telling the people. That's what's being taught in books and even in the Christian schools. I mean, not Christian schools, but the schools of the nation. It is. That's being taught in our universities and even in the lower grades. Ordinary members, novices we call them, are legionaries. The rank of centurion is given to those who have rallied 100 members to the cause. The rank of general is reserved for outstanding work in the legion. We especially need good speakers and propagandists, such as you might be if you joined our cause. You would qualify for the rank of general. Should you qualify and come over to our side, you'll be required merely to forswear your present allegiance to Jehovah and to Christ and to take the oath of allegiance similar to that required by Jesus by Satan in Luke 4, verse 6 and 7. I wish to mention the statistics you have on adultery and divorce already fall below the true figure and outside the official number. The devil knows the truth about it. They're all in this city of Los Angeles, which will be called the city of fallen angels. Countless couples living together who are not legally married, only pretending for convenience. There are tens of thousands of women and girls who are not legally divorced legally, but have simply left their husbands and families and are working for our cause in cocktail lounges and other places of pleasure and entertainment. They are, in fact, our main recruiting agency and have trapped more members night after night than any other source. Hoping to hear from you, yours in Hades, the power of fire and earth. P.S. The Legion of Lucifer does not show its hand at present. Our movement is secret and underground. However, these United States is a freedom of worship. Our organization is within the law. There's nothing illegal or illegitimate about it. See, there should be. Right. Please understand this. We plan to come out in the open and have a broadcasting station of our own
And as we cannot be refused the use of air in this free country, our main effort is confident and persuasive speakers, and that is why, frankly, we should like to have you among us. There was a feeling which I disagree with, that because we don't want people to, in this Christian land keeping us from religious freedom, that we should not have any laws against any restraint against any kind of filth, sin, demons, or anything else. I don't believe that. I believe a Christian nation has all propriety to say that this is a Christian nation and that demonism, witchcraft, Satanism is strictly forbidden. Absolutely. But a lot of Christians would jump up and yell no at that. What you do is read the Old Testament. You'll find out God never took that kind of an attitude. Here's another thing. This thing is small in itself, right here, but it shows a major trend in America. Nicaragua's capital, Aida, sister city. Just reading part of it. It's kept from the Times, Seattle Times. Charles Royal and City Council President Norm Rice have proposed that Managua, how do you pronounce it? Managua. There we go, thank you. Managua, I've heard that. I know the name and I heard it, but I've forgotten. Nicaragua became Seattle's next sister city, even though the United States government actively opposes Nicaragua's Sandinista government. Now, see, regardless that the United States government actively opposes it, city mayor and so forth are proposing to make it our sister city. It's been run by the communists down there. Now, but a new program of urban reconstruction was entrusted a few months ago to city mayor Samuel Santos Lopez, himself a former guerrilla, and Dutch-aided efforts are underway to revive the vastly polluted lake Managua. How do you pronounce it again? Managua. Thank you. Managua. Thousands of trees are being planted in Managua and so forth and so on, putting all this money down there in that leftist place. Managua would not be the only sister city in a foreign country with which the United States has had strained or belligerent relations. Royo and his wife, so forth, recently visited. They talk about the Seattle sister city of Tashkent in the Soviet Republic. Seattle also the sister city in China. Application for one in Taiwan. I think it's an important symbol that the top officials of the city can recommend this. At the same time, our president calls it a totalitarian dungeon, and the CIA is mining the harbor and producing manuals. See, I think it's important that we do this at the time when our leaders are fighting, are calling it a totalitarian dungeon, and our CIA is mining the harbors, that we come out, give them money, and make it a sister city. See what's happening? There is a rebellion that cares not a whit about authority or position or nation at all. And this thing has gone all through America. People, they want to fight against authority. The Central Intelligence Agency has been linked to the mining of Managua's harbor earlier this year into a controversial training manual for the anti-Sandinistas and so forth. Royal spokesman said the purpose of the sister city to provide an avenue of friendship, education, learning. Don't know why we have to learn from them. They're not going to learn from us, that's for sure. It's always the other way around. Here's an article called Wake Up America I'd like to read to you. Let me look at this a minute. Okay. No one has to remind us that these are critical days in which we live. The 84 election is crucial for religious freedom. Some say this is the most important election of the century. A recent letter from the Christian Voice asked a very important question. Why is it that 65% to 80% of our population agrees with you and I on issues like abortion, gay rights, national defense, balancing the budget, pornography, religious freedom, and prayer in schools, yet we never win any substantial victories in Congress? The answer is simple. Many Christians are not informed as to what is going on in their government. The average Christian suffers from a great deal of ignorance concerning crucial legislation and what action needs to be taken to elect godly officials to government positions. We must become registered, informed voters who will vote our convictions. With some 69 million or more Christians, only 40 million are registered to vote. The shocking thing about this is only a small fraction of those who are registered actually vote. If all Christians would register and vote, they would begin changing some things in America. But they're sleepy. Tucked away in 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, we find a very significant scripture for today. God listed some of David's valiant warriors. In verse 32, he added a comment which can be applied only to today's believer. Men who understand the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. We have men and women who understand the times in which we live, who have knowledge of what needs to be done. Let me share with you some information about our times that you may not be aware of. Now get a load of this, as they say, what happened in our nation. Did you know in some U.S. cities, and I've read this, there's some details of it, having a Bible study in your home is against the law. Sexually perverse and bloody witchcraft witches are now protected by law. This is some U.S. cities. With kiddie porn on the rise, one extremist group is calling for the age of sexual consent to be lowered to 4. Your tax money is supporting an annual dance festival consistently featuring total nudity. A recent poll shows only 8% of our nation's reporters attend church on a regular basis. That's, you can't tell you who's taking the media over. $100,000 of our tax money annually goes to the Library of Congress for publication of Playboy magazine in Braille. Because we don't have any right to tell the blind what to read. See, that kind of an attitude. An organization which is responsible directly or indirectly for much of the pro-abortion propaganda has been infiltrated throughout the United States is Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Amazingly enough, Planned Parenthood and its over 100 affiliates have received over $100 million by direct grants and reimbursements from the federal government to promote and effect genocide. Since 1973, 15 million babies have been aborted in the United States. This is over twice the number of Jews killed under the rule of Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany. New York's highest court ruled that the New York State Legislature must determine which human beings are actually persons who are entitled to live. The California Supreme Court ruled that a child can sue for being born. The suit was brought against the Sacramento Hospital. The court required the hospital to pay $900,000 in damages. If that gets to be the norm, you know what's going to happen to the nation? We're going to be in trouble. The Attorney General of Delaware issued an opinion stating that a doctor who has failed to kill two unborn babies with lethal saline injections could be sued for criminal malpractice. Your federal, state, and local tax dollars currently fund up to 46% of homosexual organizational budgets, including an approved $11.3 million for the Department of Human Services for one project alone. Recently, pro-homosexual legislation has been introduced in Congress calling for, one, equal employment with affirmative action, hiring quotas for both government and private sector, including churches and Christian schools. Now, how can we comply with that? See, if these things aren't turned around, pretty soon we're going to have enormous taxes to pay. And churches, our churches are not going to be able to pay. People are going to be shutting down areas. Churches have to comply with, see, it's the very Constitution of the United States. Two, inclusion of homosexuals as a defined minority eligible for protection under the 1964 Civil Rights Act. That's part of the Civil Rights Program. Number three, repeal of all anti-lesbian, anti-gay laws in all states. Number four, removal of restrictions against homosexuals entering the U.S. from foreign nations. The homosexual community's more radical minorities are calling for approval of their pet perversion. In the case of the North American Man-Boy Love Association, homosexuals who specialize in seducing young boys are seeking the abolition of restrictions against sexual contact with children. President candidate Walter Mondale has openly endorsed passage of the Gay Rights Bill of Rights. Bureaucrats in Washington have already handed out $640,000 of your tax money to the gay community services for education about gay lifestyles and gay people's problems. Taxpayers pay almost half, 45.63%, of the total income of homosexual nonprofit groups, and 55% of all homosexual organizations receive your tax dollars. In San Francisco, the activist homosexuals pushed through a law giving paid health insurance to the homosexual partners of city employees. In our nation's capital, just one block from the White House, over 15,000 homosexual men and women celebrated Gay and Lesbian Pride Day. In Washington, two young high school students were put on trial for beating up a homosexual who had been following them around, trying to lure them into his house and making homosexual advances toward them. But instead of questioning the perverted actions of the homosexual, the two young students were attacked in the press, and the students were taken to court. You can't even defend yourself against pressure put on you by the homosexuals. Each year, the city of Pawtucket, Rhode Island, set up a large Christmas display to commemorate the holiday. The display included a variety of traditional Christmas scenes, most of which are secular, such as Santa Claus and his reindeer. The singular religious contribution to the display in a life is a life-size nativity scene. The ACLU sued the city to force the removal of the nativity scene, claiming that it violates the First Amendment's requirement of separation of church and state. Lower courts have all ruled in favor of the ACLU, and the case is now before the Supreme Court. Here is what humanistic educators are planning to do to your children. The battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as the proselyters of a new faith. The classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity and the new faith of humanism. Now I'm warning you, parents, that keeping your children in public school, you may find out they're getting rotten and don't even know about what's really happening to them. And then when you lose them someday, you may stand responsible before God because you would not pay the price to send them to a Christian school and make sure that they'll behave properly so that they can stay there. Education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism, and every American public school is the school of humanism. Charles Francis Potter, signer of the Humanist Manifesto. For each minute you spend reading this article, three babies will die by being vacuumed, sucked, or scraped out of the mother's womb, salt poisoned, or actually delivered alive only to be left to die. By the end of the day, 4,320 babies would have been disposed of by one or another of these methods. The Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, a humanist church, has decided to recognize marriage between homosexuals. There's new candy to the U.S. market. Kids pay a nickel for a small white chocolate skull. They squeeze the skull on the sides, and a red substance oozes out through the mouth and eyes. All ill rabbit, they've already eaten worms, you know, little gelatin worms, whatever you call them, and for candies and other such things. A family business in New York is importing the candy from Europe. One of the significant factors making this election so crucial is the Supreme Court. Six of its nine members are 74 years of age or older. They're currently in ill health, and the next president will probably appoint more Supreme Court justices than any president since George Washington. Billy Graham's recent film, entitled The Prodigal, was given a PG rating by a Motion Picture Association of America. The reason for the PG rating, pre-teenage children should not be exposed to Christianity without the parents' consent. But they're exposed to all the Playboy magazines on the book counters without parents' consent. Christian values, according to Hollywood, are dangerous, and no child should be exposed to them without the parents' consent. Christian, do you really understand the times? Now, I say this not to hurt. If the person is healed, please understand I do this as a pastor. An individual was hurt because I am giving the State of the Union message. He came to hear about Jesus. He didn't think we should be in politics. As far as I'm concerned, if the nation doesn't wake up and do something, if the Christians always take the backside, I preach plenty of Jesus around here. And it seems to me that we have more church services than most churches, and it seems to me that if we inform the people every year or two on some issues, it seems to me that we need to know what's going on. We'd be motivated. After all, we need to be motivated a little bit against sin and the world and so forth. It's a part of the overall message of coming out of Babylon, hating the world, and making sure you're praying for your nation and voting in the right people. You know, the Bible does say that we are to obey the magistrates over us and so forth. We do, according to the Scriptures, it is not true that we have no citizenship in this world. That's not biblical. Our citizenship is in heaven spiritually. But our citizenship is not yet in heaven in an actual, experiential, physical way. We are living here, and if we're not so, God would not say obey them and have the rule over you, because they would have no rule over us. If we went under them, they'd have no rule. He says they have the rule over you, and we ought to obey them, which shows that we are under them, which means that we do have a right then to vote in our own government and to know these things. Have you read this, Jack? Should I read it? A Nicaraguan missionary stated on the Christian broadcasting this morning that the Revolutionary Bloc Guards in Managua are right now marking the doors of Christian households with red paint, telling the occupants that they shall be among the first killed if the field war in the United States begins. I was in a church, Pentecostal church in this city, one time, where the pastor got up and said, I received a phone call, said, this is the Communist Party of America. Just want to let you know that we got you and every other American, a minister in America, that is preaching the Bible, like you, marked, and come the revolution, we're going to kill you all. Yet one of them ran, Hill Gus Hall, the leader of this whole thing, ran for president of the United States. And somehow back, the Democratic Party had taken out this thing that required that if you're in, you know, defense and other things, that you have to sign with your communists or not. Shouldn't have to tell whether you're trying to destroy the United States or not. That's unfair. You should be able to sabotage and not have any. See, there's a terrible thing happening. What's happening is a rottenness, in which people are for the devil, crime, destruction, communism, atheism, false religions, heathenism, everything but Christianity. It's turning against their own nation and everything, because they're on the devil's side. This one, I guess I'm out of time. I'll give you one more here. Can't read the first word. But drug addicts, give addicts the drugs they crave, federal judge says. A federal judge told attorneys at the sentencing of a convicted drug law violator that there would be less crime if addicts were given the narcotics they crave. The only answer is that she be able to get whatever she's addicted to. That's the answer. Without resorting to crime, senior U.S. District Judge Albert Bryant said last week at the sentencing of Cynthia Bodie, convicted of trying to use a false prescription to obtain the drug Percocet, or whatever it is. It's like these heroin addicts in the streets. If they could get their heroin without stealing or robbing somebody, that would be the answer. That would be the answer to us. Bryant declined to give the woman a jail term, saying she'll be addicted while she's in jail and probably come out addicted to something else. So this kind of fuzzy thinking, no wonder we got a problem. And it's going to get worse if this kind of people are put in office and push this kind of legislation even more. I've got more to bring you, but not now. We need to pray for our nation. We need to come out of the world all the way. We have got to draw sides. We cannot stay in this fuzzy, quasi... limbo, this tutum quid, one foot, and it's indecisive, 1 foot in the world, 1 foot, trying to make 1 foot in the New Jerusalem, 1 foot in Sodom. We have got to come out and live holy unto the Lord. We've got to pray for our nation. We've got to live godly. Play around with demon powers. Fool around with them. We've got to be separated. We've got to be left clean, holy. Amen?
Amen?
I don't want this church to finally become a church where people are living and all feel free to live in sin and go to church. I don't want it. I don't want it. In fact, God will purge it. We'll pray that God will do something. Well, we who don't want to lose people, we want to have to make the kingdom. We'll pray that God will purge it and drive them out if necessary. We've got to have a body of people that will want God. Now we cannot, one last thing, we cannot pray against sin but to be unwilling to give it up and then finally quit because it's a lot of work, we'll get nowhere, and then give into it and live that way and be callous and forget it. You cannot live gospel hardened. If you get to a place where the messages no longer strike your heart, no longer pull at you, no longer convict, you're in trouble.
Right.
I went to a church one time out here. I visited. The pastor preached an anointed message. There was not the slightest bit of any, no, nothing. Nobody said anything, did anything. Nobody prayed. Everybody got up and walked out, totally oblivious. I was in a charismatic meeting in Dallas. And the minister got up and gave a powerful message in tongues. the leading speaker from England, Charles Duncombe, got up and gave the most powerful interpretation, scathing, rebuking the people, giving them, if you people don't move, he said, this is your last chance. You know, but the sickle is coming, it's cutting you off. You've got, you know, and he really laid it to him. Total unconcern. Total. I was so shaken by hearing that, although I knew it didn't apply to us, for what he was saying, we were moving for God. I had to go down there and kneel down and pray. And the people, all right, well, now the mixing up program is, and not a bit of, God spoke and nobody gave notice. And there's a lot of deadness out there. God leaves when people won't heal. We have got to heal and pray. We've got to do something. We need altar calls. We need to come to the altar. We need to be praying in the streets and they hear they just say, yes, Lord, amen. Me, Lord, we need decisions. We need to be repenting. We need to be believing. We need cottage prayer meetings. We need deliverance. We need help from God. We're trying to do something. The devil is fighting it. And in the nation, God bless you. 10-minute break and morning worship service.